Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who's bringing us the word this morning. We're going to be finishing up our February sermon series, The Heart of Prayer. And so we're coming to the end of the Lord's Prayer this morning. I hope that you've had time to take advantage of the prayer labyrinth downstairs. It went away for about a week, and it's back again. So that's down in room 111, down in the Sunday school, like the back hallway. That's free for anybody who wants to experience a prayer labyrinth. And we still have some prayer workbooks that you can take with you on your way out the door, either entrance. It's like a full sheet, and it's got a heart on it. It says a heart of prayer workbook. Even if you didn't grab one at the beginning of February, you could still use that. We kind of want to keep praying the whole year long. So you are welcome to take one of those as well until they are all gone. We got a few announcements we want to lift up this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pad so you can register your attendance. It's helpful for us to know who's here, especially with our guests, so that we can get your information and find out more about you. All right, Pat's going to share the first announcement.
Homes, their churches, the community, and places of work. Emmaus lifts up a way for our grace-filled lives to be lived and shared with others. If you're interested, please contact either of our pastors, the church office, Pat Tank, or me, Pat Thornton, if you're interested in more information. We would absolutely love to have you join the other 60 past and current Asbury members who have experienced the Walk to Emmaus weekend. Thank you.
So 60 people from Asbury have gone through Walk to Emmaus, and I would say most of them have probably found it a transformative and helpful experience, a nice time away. How many people here have done Walk to Emmaus? Keep those hands up. If you are interested and want to know some more, these are some of the people that you can ask questions or seek out sponsorship. So end of April and the beginning of May for the Quad Cities Emmaus. And they do about twice a year? This year only once, so if you miss this year, you can catch up next year, but it's a wonderful experience. Next slide is that, as this is the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, next week is the first Sunday of Lent. I'd like to invite you to our Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and then we're beginning a sermon series next week, March 1st, Entering the Passion of Jesus. Make sure you pick up a copy of the book that we're basing the series on by Dr. Amy Jill Levine. She goes through the last week of Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. And so you can pick that up. That is yours for free. You could offer a donation if you'd like, but we want to make sure everybody is getting a chance to read the book. We're all on the same page, literally, and we can join together in entering the passion as one church and taking those risks together. Final announcement is that Wednesday, March 4th, we're going to be partnering with Mark Twain Elementary School for Read Across America. So we're looking for 20 individuals that during the school day would be willing to go into Mark Twain Elementary School and read to a class of children. And so that'll be coordinated, what age group and what time and all of that. So if you say, I am available and I would like to do this, you can sign up by sign-up sheet by either entrance, or you can just fill out a serve card right in front of you and put it in the offering plate later on in worship so that we know that you're interested. So we're looking for 20 individuals who are excited about reading to children and this partnership. All right, there's a lot going on. We're getting into a busy time in the church calendar. Oh, and maybe it's a busy time at home for you. Maybe you've had a lot going on, or maybe there hasn't been enough going on. But either way, I invite you to take a moment, take a few deep breaths, Center yourself, feel God's presence in this place, and prepare yourself for worship. Please rise as you're comfortable for the call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Let us pray. Almighty God, I thank you that no matter what I have experienced this week, the trials and temptations, I can come to you in prayer. Through your presence with me, I have been given the comfort and the strength that I needed. Thank you, O God, and may I feel your peace and security in this time of worship, gaining the protection from evil that I seek. Amen.
Thank you.
have a friend in Jesus and we have a friend in one another. I invite you to turn to the people around you and share signs of peace and friendship with your neighbors. I'm feeling that spirit of friendship in this place. That's wonderful. At this time, we continue sharing with one another by sharing our prayer requests. If you have a joy or concern you'd like to share, one of our ushers will bring you a microphone, and we can all be in a specific prayer for one another.
Darwin Schroeder, remembering in prayer this morning, Donald Hartz, who had left this life this past Wednesday at Masonic Home, where he had been a resident. He was a child of 1929 and had observed his 90th birthday on December 14th. He was a close friend and used to tell me about walking to country school in Eclair in the late 30s. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Valerie Mentor. I'd like to share joy. I saw the advertisement for the Grief Share, and Grief Share is a wonderful program. I've attended Grief Share at two other places besides this church, and I wanted to say that the people who work in the Grief Share here were the most understanding and supportive and giving and loving people. And so if you have a loss of a person that you've had recently, Grief Share is a wonderful thing.
Thank you for that testimony. Are there any others this morning?
I'm Linda Carver. Last week I shared about Derek Holland, a father who had three little ones at home, and he was up in Mayo with a heart condition, asking for prayers, and we were going over the whole Quad Cities trying to get churches to pray for him. But what happened as of after Sunday, or on Sunday, with the prayers being said and stuff, his medicine had kicked in, and he is now up and walking. So, thank you.
That's wonderful.
Just want to lift up also Theo Fall. That many of you know, Theo is in the hospital. She has been in intensive care this past week, but they're looking to have her find a new place where she'll be able to be at. But she's, we want to pray for Jack and Theo, just in prayers for healing and strength for them. So.
We do have a celebration today at Second Service. We'll be doing a baptism of a pair of siblings. It'll be Everett, who's going to be 3 next month, and Rory, who was born in December. So the brother and sister are going to be baptized at Second Service, so that's always a celebration to lift up. All right, I invite you to be in a time of prayer, silent prayer. We're going to sing the verse of a song. We're going to have a moment of silent prayer. I'll ask for a prayer, and then we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer.
Strong desires for thy return.
Wonderful God, we thank you for the blessings of this past week. We thank you for the anniversaries and the birthdays and the celebrations. We thank you for the simple joys and the quiet times, the ordinary days and chances to serve you and to love others. We also thank you that no matter what we have dealt with this past week, you have been beside us, guiding us and caring for us, offering us strength through tribulation and grace in our mistakes. We lift up to you those prayers that were spoken aloud and those prayers that are in our hearts and those prayers that are too deep and difficult for words. We offer all those sorrows, all those pains. We pray for the healing for those who are battling diseases of the mind and the body and the soul. We ask for protection for those who serve you and those who put their lives on the line to care for and protect others. We ask for comfort for those who mourn. And for those who are lonely, we ask that they may find community. And for those that are in need of an answered prayer, that we may be part of the answer to someone's prayer, that we may be sent to their side to show your light in their life. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and he was the one who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. We are in chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. And this is Jesus speaking here, and it says, "Then he looked at his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets.'" This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward to talk with Pastor Tom here on the steps.
Whisper. All right, good thing you guys are here. Good morning. So, Mom, I gotta ask a question though. Dad, is it okay to have just a little bit of chocolate? I mean, no allergies or anything like that? So like no chocolate, would that be better? Okay, so never mind. Thank you. Don't need it. Hey, so here's what we're thinking about today. We're thinking about, you know what? I love chocolate chips. Do you ever have chocolate chips? Yeah, I eat them. Sometimes I don't even eat them in a cookie. I just put them right in my mouth. You know, I like that. But you know what? In a few days, I'm going to stop
eating chocolate chips. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Well, because cavities, that's a good idea. Sometimes too much sugar, chocolate would give you cavities, so that's not good. Huh? Allergies, that might be a good reason not to eat chocolate chips too. That's right, yeah. But this week, later this week, we're going to start a time in church that's called Lent. And what people sometimes do for this time of Lent, it comes before Easter, is that they'll give up something that maybe they like to do. And in some ways, it helps us actually appreciate it even more. And so for me, one of the things I do during Lent is I don't eat chocolate or chocolate chips from Wednesday all the way till Easter. And then guess what I do on Easter? Can you imagine? I eat lots of chocolate. And guess what? It tastes so good, and I like it so much. So now, one of the other things that we're thinking about today is, it's kind of like, how do you get stronger? Do you know how you get stronger?
Sleep.
You have to sleep. That's good. And eat. That's exactly right. How about, do you know what it is to exercise? Yeah, to get muscles. And what do you have to do to exercise? Run. And when you run, or maybe you lift weights, but when you run, have you ever run and you got really tired? Do you ever see mom or dad run, or people, athletes, when they run and they get really tired when they practice that way? But do you know what? When they get tired, that actually helps them get stronger. When they do something hard, like exercising or lifting weights or running, and you get tired, and it actually kind of hurts a little bit, doesn't feel very good, but when you do that, you actually get stronger, that you can go farther next time or get lift more weights the next time. So what we're thinking about today is sometimes we do things that are hard, that are difficult, but they make us, or they help us get stronger, okay? So Lent, sometimes, like I say, if you give up something for a while, it can actually, we do that so that we can get stronger. We can actually enjoy life more. We can enjoy chocolate more when we do have it. And we can enjoy the life that God gives us more. And we can be stronger for all the things that we have to do in life. But sometimes we have to do hard things in order to get stronger and better at it. Okay? But guess what? God will help us do exactly that. How's that sound? Okay? Okay, so I tell you what. I've got some pictures here today that have a man exercising. And see the weights that he's lifting? Right? That will help him get stronger, right? And so sometimes we do something for Lent, we give something up, or we exercise, we do something hard, but when we go through a hard time, that can actually help us get stronger and be ready for the next time that comes, all right? Okay, how about we have a prayer together? I'll say a prayer, then you say it right after me.
Dear God,
we thank you for your love, and that you're with us no matter what. And when we go through a hard time, it can make us stronger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can take that back with you, and you can color that in. And remember, when you do hard things, sometimes it makes you stronger. This week we're going to conclude our sermon series about the heart of prayer. And we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer and a section of the Lord's Prayer each week. And this week, the final phrase about lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, while we're looking at that phrase, I've chosen a couple scripture references that kind of give some insight into delivering us from evil and overcoming a temptation or not being led into the time of trial. But notice how in 1 Peter, a follower of Jesus, how he would later write saying, don't be surprised that you're going to go through some hard, difficult times. And I want to spend some time with you kind of sorting those out together. This scripture reading is 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16. And again, Peter is writing and kind of reminding the people about the difficulties, the hardships that they're going to have to go through, but encouraging them to hold on and hold fast to their faith and even to glorify God in the midst of it. This is 1 Peter. I want to begin at chapter 4 at verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you also may be glad and shout for joy when His glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit, or the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet, if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God, because you bear His name. Well, this is a reading from the Scriptures, the Word of God for the people of God. You know, one of the great blessings of my life is this position I have, or as a pastor, and the joy of meeting all kinds of people over the years. And this morning, I especially remember a woman that I met in my first church, an elderly woman, and she had recently been diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of cancer. And so I went to call on her and see her, and she shared with me more about her life and had pictures on the wall and told me about how she'd been married twice, and both of her husbands had passed away. And she said, you know, a lot of women can't find one good man. And I found two. Again, she was remembering I just remember listening to her talk about the loss of two husbands, but in a joyful, thankful way. And then even about her cancer, you know, that she was still this positive attitude and was happy. And I was like, you know, how you've been diagnosed with cancer. I mean, how can you be so happy now? Or how does that work? She says, well, I guess I always have been, and now I just can't stop. And I thought, I want to be like that. Now, one of the other things I remember about visiting this woman is in her simple little apartment, a senior living area, but she had a picture on the wall. And it was this picture, you've probably seen it at some point, of a man praying. And I think that spoke about her life as well. That also expressed who she was. As a follower of Jesus, she spent time daily in prayer. And I think that relationship with God, you know, that prayer that she prayed, that connection she made, is what enabled her to be thankful, even at losing two husbands, to be rejoicing, even when facing a diagnosis of cancer. And it was a great blessing for me. And I hope maybe a blessing for you too. Now, here's what we're thinking about today. The Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. How is it, I mean, we pray that, and yet we can expect to face temptations and have to deal with evil. And today I want to sort that out with you. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence, for your love that we know in Jesus, and for your Holy Spirit here with us now. We pray that
our hearts, our minds would be open to not only feel your presence, but to hear your word, your guidance for us, so that we might be enabled and strengthened to face all that lies ahead this week. For we open our hearts to your presence now as we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So when you read the scriptures and the different translations of the Lord's Prayer, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Revised Standard Version, it says, do not bring us to the time of trial. Now, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes, you know, we say, lead us not into temptation. A temptation versus a trial. And if you'll see the footnote, usually in the scriptures, it'll say, depending on which version you're reading, it could be one or the other. A temptation or a trial. And so a temptation is something, you know, that can lead us astray. And here when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, lead us, again, there's the plural, lead us not into temptation or not into a time of trial. What I want to suggest is that it begins with our relationship with Jesus, with God, leading us, guiding us. We're not alone. And so in that prayer, which, you know, the heart of prayer is a conversation. And a conversation is a relationship. And relationships are everything. And it's in that relationship with God through our faith in Jesus that we can be led where we go. Now, Jesus would teach us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Don't take us down the path where we'll be led astray. And God would never take us down a path that would lead us astray. God would never tempt us, trying to say, here, go the wrong way. That's the work of the evil one. That's the work of the devil, the demonic. God is always about leading us to where we need to be. But the reality is, we face temptations every day, don't we? We face choices about, do we go this way or do we go this way? Do we go my way or do we set my way aside and go God's way instead? Do I look after just myself? Or do I set my own personal preferences aside for the sake of others? Jesus would teach, lead us not into temptation. God would never lead us into temptation. Lead us not into the time of trial. We will always face times of trial, of hardship, of difficulties that we'll have to endure. The temptation is that somehow to think God's not a part of it, but God is. God walks with us through all of the hardships, the struggles, the cancers, the tragedies that we face. The temptation comes when we think, oh, God is not here. God's abandoned me. God's not here. That's the temptation, and God would never do that. God is continually saying, I'm right here with you, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is here with us. So lead us not into the time of trial and deliver us from evil or sometimes, again, there's a footnote, evil or the evil one. Again, they can be interchanged. The evil one, the devil or that which is opposed to God, there's God and there's turning away from God. God is good. Anything that turns us away from God is evil. And so whether that's the evil one, like a tempter or a Satan, or just evil in general, deliver us from evil. Now again, we pray that all the time in our Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray that, but we are always going to have to go through those times when we might call it evil, or we might call it hardship, or suffering, or tragedy. No one will be able to escape the hardships, the tragedies, the difficulties of life. And I want to suggest to you what makes it evil, again, is when it turns us away from God. But even those hardships, those difficulties, those difficult tragedies in life, when we're with Jesus, when we remember God's love, have the potential to even strengthen our relationship with God. The woman I told you about had lost two husbands. Imagine the hardship, the tragedy, the sadness of that, and to have it happen twice. And yet she was able to say, you know what, praise God, I found two husbands, two good men. A lot of women don't find one. Or the idea of cancer, to say, but still I've got this day. And to be thankful and rejoicing in what she did have. You know, one of the things I'm learning in my life this past year, you know, some of you know with the hip surgery that I had, the back surgery that I had, I'm finding that, you know, I can't go jogging, I can't play basketball. We watched the state wrestling tournament last night. I can't ever wrestle again. Not that I was ever wrestling, you know, that much since my high school days. But on the other hand, I remember back around Thanksgiving time when I could hardly walk. And the pain in my back was such, you know, I was using a walker and trying to get around. And some of you might remember there at the Starry Night. Remember we had the Starry Night here and Linda had worked so hard and I just wanted to see it. And I didn't want to miss it and such. And so, you know, came to the Starry Night, but I had my walker. It was before my back surgery and was just in pain constantly. I had these sweatpants on, you know, that just to be able to get around. I was with my daughter and my grandsons, and I knew it was a different day when I'm just trying to get around, and my daughter says, Dad, pull your pants up. I was like, oh, gosh. And while that was a hard, difficult, painful time, now I look back and I look at today and says, praise God, I'm not in pain. I can't run, I can't jog, I can't play pickleball, I can't wrestle, I can't do a lot of stuff I used to do. No more climbing up on the roof and throwing pumpkins off, you know, to smash them. But I'm not in pain. I can walk. There's plenty of things that I can do. And I'm so thankful and can rejoice in that. You see, what's evil is when something happens and it causes us to doubt God or turn away from God. And I want to suggest to you that even the most difficult, hardest things that we face in our life are evil in the sense that they do harm, they do damage to people. But on the same token, God can even use those things to strengthen a relationship, to bring about good in this world. One of the things, again, we're getting ready for Lent. And this Wednesday, we invite you to come back for Ash Wednesday. And we'll put the ashes on people's forehead and say something to the effect of, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. In other words, to think about, you know, we're mortal. And the ashes remind us that at some point we're going to die. This one of the things I've learned this past year, is that I'm going to get old and die. And that's the best case scenario. I mean, it's like, what do you expect? You know, and so that's not a question whether that's going to happen. I mean, that's what I hope to happen, you know. But the reality is there'll be hardships and difficulties along the way. And can we still praise God in the midst of all of it? So the whole idea behind Lent is giving up something. You know, I give up chocolate. That's like a minor thing. You know, I'll do a few other things that kind of remind me. But the whole point of going through some hardship or some difficulty or some struggle is that it actually makes us stronger. The same can be true of other hardships or difficulties that happen in our lives that we don't bring about or we don't want to have. And then in themselves, they're not good. Cancer is not good. Earthquakes are not good. Fires are not good. And yet, they're going to happen. We can't escape them in all of our lives. So then the question is, when we give that to God and say, God, I know you're here, you are here with me in this, that God has the potential to use it for good. Even though on its own there's nothing good in it, but God has the power to use it for good through us. I mean, that's many ways what we're going to be thinking about through all the season of Lent, entering into the Passion of Christ. We're going to be remembering again about the hardship, the difficulty, Jesus out in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted and tormented by the devil is part of where the 40 days of Lent comes from. We're going to remember the Passion of Christ, the last week of Christ that he entered into Jerusalem and all the things that he experienced, the risks that he had to take, but ultimately to Good Friday and Jesus' death on the cross. There was nothing good about that. And yet somehow the power of God, even to bring about a resurrection, a new life, to end one thing, to be able to then to begin another, that God could use that tragedy of a crucifixion, a senseless, meaningless death on the cross, and give it meaning and say, this is how much I love you. And to use it in such a way that has changed the world and changed my life as well. You see, the power of God to transform the activities, the hardships, the difficulties of our life that we might struggle with, and God can bring about something good through it. So when Peter was writing, he was saying, so don't be surprised that you're going through this fiery ordeal. Again, a fiery ordeal, there's that image of a testing or a temptation. But you know, there's something about a fiery ordeal, like a fiery furnace, that also has the ability to strengthen like metal. There's a like a forge. That sometimes going through a fiery furnace actually makes the metal stronger. When we go through a time of trials or testing or difficulty, we can actually be stronger when we come out the other side. You know, I had another good friend that I knew at a previous church. He was a teacher and also had a diagnosis of cancer. That's not good. It's a bad thing. And yet, as he dealt with it with his faith, he came to the point where he would even talk about this cancer as a gift. With other cancer patients that he would be with, you know, they would talk about going through chemotherapy and stuff. But the way he looked at it was, you know, he'd been blessed with two children. There were so many things. And he also said, you know what? Because of this cancer, I don't take any day for granted now. I say what I need to say. I do what I need to do. He said, my life is fuller now than it had ever been before. And again, when I would visit with him, and I'd be depressed just thinking about it, but on the other hand, he'd be like, no, this is, we're going to go at this. It's a good life. I'm going to make the most of this day. And even that hardship, that trial, that temptation, that testing didn't result in evil, which is when a person turns away from God. He went through a time of testing, of trial, of hardship, but he was delivered from evil because he still found strength in his relationship with Jesus. The heart of prayer is a conversation. A conversation is a relationship. And relationships are everything. And when you have that relationship with God, you can go through any fiery ordeal. And God can use it. And you'll be okay. Now, when I all say okay, it doesn't mean physically you're going to be able to do all the things you used to do, or that there aren't still hardships or difficulties or pain that we'll go through. But your heart, your spirit, your soul in the hands of God, you'll be okay. Okay, so I want to give you an assignment and think about for now. I want you to think about the worst day of your life. Not too deeply, but just see if you can't recall what comes to mind. When you think about, if you look at your whole life, the thing, there's one day that was the worst. Think about that for a moment. It was hard, it was bad, it was terrible. But also think about this. In your whole life, at some point, there'll be the worst day of your life. And if your worst day, the good thing about the worst day of your life is once you're through it, you never have to go through it again. That was the worst. And so the good thing is you got through the worst day of your life, you got through it. You'll never have to face any day that you face. You could always say, well, it's not as bad as the worst day. Now, here's the other side of it. At some point, at the end of your life, you could look back and say, what was the worst day of your life? Your worst day may be yet to come. And we don't know about it. So if that's the case, then the worst day that you've already had is going to help you get ready for that day that's coming. Everybody has a worst day in your life. At the same time, I mean, the good news is there's only one. And once you get through it, you'll never have to face it again. Now, if it's behind you, praise God it's behind you. If it's in front of you, okay, let's get ready. Because it's coming, and you'll be able to face it. No. All the worst days that were previously will get you ready for that day that's yet to come. You see, the bottom line through all of this is the good news that God loves you, that God is with you, that no matter what happens, God can use it for good in our relationship with Him. And so when we pray that Lord's Prayer, we're back to where we started, a relationship with God, our God who loves us like a father, who's hallowed in all creation, who's created everything and cares about us. When we seek His will above our own, and when we know He'll care for us and provide us with our daily bread, He'll help us in our relationships with one another to forgive them as God has forgiven us. And God will then lead us through those times of trial, those difficulties, and deliver us from evil no matter what. That's good news. That's the heart of prayer. And that's what God offers to you this day. Amen. At this point, we want to share our tithes and our offerings. And so, as a way to share with what God has blessed us, if you have gifts to share in the ministry of the United Methodist Church and the Asbury Church, we'll take a few moments as God has blessed you that you can share those gifts to be a blessing then to others. Let's receive now our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer of dedication. No matter what I experience this week, Lord, help me to take my heart to you in prayer. Through ups and downs, grace and arguments, peace and failures, I know you will be beside me through it all. Give me strength to offer to you this week the full range of emotions, that through the prayers given to you, my heart will be given to you as well. I dedicate all that I am to you, Lord, as I dedicate the gifts offered in your service. Amen.
We invite you to share a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall just through the doors here. Coffee, refreshments, time to visit with one another. Good reminder to sign up for the Read Across America, because we certainly want to have an impact in the young lives, and that's one of the ways we're doing that with our community here, the Mark Twain School. As you go out this week, remember, you do not go along alone. Any trials, temptations, evil that you face, you do not face alone. God will give you the strength. Just a closer walk with Jesus will enable you to overcome all that you face. For the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.